Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of the steps to take when going through sin's consequences, we were talking about the signs that show that the time of judgment is near. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The time of judgment is almost here. The rapture is almost here. Now, Israel was sent by God into Israel the first time. Because, again, God had a timetable, and it would be another 400 years before they could enter the land. Well, God has a timetable he hasn't told me about, and he hasn't told us about. But he only told us that if we can know when it's near, even at the doors, my friend, that time is very close. But let's consider again the scriptures. There we find out in Matthew 24:11-12 of these last days, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, this is talking about the positive preachers, positive only. And that is the majority of them. They've watered down doctrine. Many false prophets shall arise, we're told. In 2 Timothy 3:12-13, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. You know, that's a promise there as well. If you're going to live godly, you're going to have persecution. Now, it may be physical, it may be a mental persecution, it might be an attack of the devil, it just might be the things people say to you and the rejection of people. But it's interesting that the many false prophets say, I read Matthew 24, and now living godly brings persecution, seducers, waxing worse and worse, deceiving, being deceivers. More often than not, talks about religious people that are doing the persecuting. In 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days, perilous, that is, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, all those things I just read there, doesn't that sound like the newspapers on any given day in this world? Now, he tells Christians to turn away from those things. Now, there are those out there preaching that you tell people to turn away from these things, that you're a legalist. But again, I come back with, that's right, you're either obedient to the Word of God, or you're a legalist that's obedient to the desires of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. What kind of a legalist are you? Revelation 9:20-21. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Isn't that interesting? There are people out there today that say repentance is a work. And it's not a true salvation. Only a simple belief in Christ is all you need. And then I have no idea what the word believe meant in the Bible, because it has the idea of a commitment. And no, we don't stop the sin ourselves, but our heart is willing for Christ to cleanse us from our sin, to take our sin from us. And people go around saying, look, you can just live the way you are, don't worry about it. God sees it. It doesn't bother him at all. Just ask him to save you. Man, that is a filthy lie of the devil. And here we see in Revelation 9, here are people that still didn't repent. And it's not talking about Christians. It's talking about unsaved people. They didn't repent of their murders, their sorceries, their fornication, their thefts. They've seen the destruction of the tribulation. Just like these people in our text saw the destruction of Jerusalem. And the men do not repent. Don't buy the foolishness of easy believism. Now, as one will see in chapters 43 and 44, these people simply will not like the message of Jeremiah from God. And understand, Jeremiah is just a messenger. It's God's message. But doesn't it remind us of Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11, where we read this? That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They're saying, look, we want a psychological counselor, not a Bible preacher. Be a religious counselor. Make us feel good about ourselves. Speak to us smooth things so that we feel good. Don't tell us the truth. Don't give us God's word, His law. You see, the world's love says, don't be negative. Don't say anything which might offend. You know, so-and-so won't like it. And they're big tithers. I think of the story told of a lady who often would call her husband at work just to chat. And one day she called him up and she said, dear, just want to chat a while. And he says, well, darling, I'm sorry, but I'm up to my neck in work today, and I really don't have time to chat. She said, well, I've got some good news and some bad news for you, honey. Well, he said, okay, darling, listen. You can tell me the good news right now, and then you can give me the bad news when I get home. She said, okay, honey. The good news is the airbags in the car work. Well, you can understand then what the bad news probably was that was hitting his mind about that time. Well, isn't that an illustration of the world? Just tell us the good news. We don't want to hear the bad news. Jesus suffered for telling the truth. So too Jeremiah. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 7 and verse 7 to his earthly brethren that were not converted at the time, he says, the world can't hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of their deeds. He's talking about specifics. I testify of their deeds that they are evil, so the world hates them for it. Now, no one loved more than Jesus loved us. Yet, they hated him because he told them the truth. He spoke the truth in love, but it did not change the fact that it still hit those people very hard. See, when you're speaking the truth in love, you can't water it down. You've got to tell it as it is, that it might help people in the long run. It is the truth in love to tell people that they're sinners and there's only one way of salvation. It is the truth in love when we warn about sin in the church and in the home. It is the truth in love when we preach against CCM, immodesty, and carnal living, and other such like sin. Isn't it interesting? You can listen to the radio or the television or even see it on a billboard and it says, do not text and drive. Well, isn't that negative? Boy, they must really hate us to put up such negative advertising. To say, don't text and drive. They're just telling us no. They have no love in their heart. They're just negative. No. What they're telling you is to try to save your life. But isn't it the same thing as saying the one who preaches the truth lacks love? Now, as Israel's told, hear the word of the Lord. But by what we read in verse 20 here of chapter 42 of Jeremiah, What they said had sounded good. I mean, they said, yeah, tell us all the Lord is going to say and declare to us, we'll do it. Man, we'll do it. You just tell me what I need to do, Preacher Jeremiah, and we will do it. You just let us know what God wants. Well, we find out that's not really their heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. Yes, that sounded good to Jeremiah's ears, but God looks at the heart. And God's message, oh my goodness, Jeremiah delivered all of it. So, what was stated at the beginning there in verse 20 sounded good to Jeremiah's ears of what the people were trying to say, but Jeremiah informs them, while you were saying that to me, God was looking at your heart. Now he's giving you an answer. And he says, you dissembled in your heart. In other words, you're just an old hypocrite. They were insincere when they originally came to him. They merely wanted God's blessings on their plans, of which they had already made up in their minds to do. You know what they were wanting to say? They wanted to say something like this. Well, you know, I prayed about it. I prayed about it. We act like that there are things that we do that are way outlandish and wrong, but it's all right to do them because I prayed about it. Well, yeah, I know I should have been at the revival meeting. I know I should have been in church, but I prayed about it. Yeah, I know I shouldn't have held up that bank, but I prayed about it. Isn't it funny how people cover sin? For example, they say, a preacher, yeah, you've gone too far. We agree that drunkenness is wrong, but social drinking? You know, that's under control. I'm a social drinker. Well, let's just apply that to sin. Hey, man, I don't go out there and mass murder people. I'm just a social murderer. I just kill a person every once in a while because it feels good. Or they really needed it. But no, I just don't kill randomly. I just kill socially. Does that sound way out there? It's no more, that's not any worse than saying I'm a social drinker. So I just like to kind of show you what you sound like before God if you're one of those who says that. And I'm telling you that because I love you. Because if you're able to hear this message right now, then you're able to do something about it and getting things right with God. See, the church today and individual believers have dissembled with their hearts. They go to sleep in the lap of Delilah through the week. Then they go forth on Sunday after Sunday to shake themselves, not realizing the Spirit of the Lord departed from them long ago. Unfortunately, today we are emphasizing programs, propaganda, pep, and personnel. What we really need most is a passion and the power for God and a passion and power that leads us in obedience to His holy word. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all. that are in Christ Jesus.